Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to another episode of Nerd Up. This week, I've got Dalton Manch.
Yo.
Asa Gray.
Your intros are lies.
Shannon Young.
Take-Two is my favorite video game developer.
Really? What games by Take-Two do you enjoy?
Nerd Up.
I wasn't aware they were developing a Nerd
Grand
Up game.
Grand Theft Auto 5.
And Lindsay Wolfgang is that other laugh you heard.
Hi.
Hi, Lindsay.
Hey, she didn't slap me this time when she said hi.
Well, that's because you didn't make fun of her.
You also didn't say hi.
Oh, it's going to be a good
episode. I'm sorry that I'm predictable.
All right, so we're going to try really hard not to swear. That's why Shannon's making his take two jokes, because he's a jerk.
Oh, my God. You were the one that said...
A doo-doo head,
I very much like that your rage is moved just straight to him, even though I'm the one that called you out on it at first.
Yeah.
You are a...
You did it in a way that I got it, but maybe the listeners wouldn't have.
You are a brother trucker.
All right, so...
Take three. Start over.
It's not going to be safe for work, guys. It's just not.
Jesus. Okay, moving on. A few things happened this last week. A whole lot of, Marvel movie stuff, and DC movie stuff. A little bit of that. One of the first things that I wanted to talk about, though, before we get into any movie news, Lionhead Studios was shut down. So that means all Fables...
No, I thought they canceled Fable, but they officially shut the studio down?
They officially shut the studio down.
I think it was one and the same. I think it...
Yeah, the studio shut down and the game was canceled.
Yeah.
Well, the game got canceled first, and the rumors were that Microsoft was looking to shut down Lionhead, but it hadn't officially happened yet. But that was just that first day that I read everything.
Yeah, I think it was on Wednesday, I want to say, that I read that Lionhead was out and all the Fables productions are shut down.
Now, from what I understand, though, they will reopen the studio if they go down and find two bottles of Cambodian breast milk.
Ew.
That was a Fable joke.
Well, that was
a Chappelle Show joke.
Yeah. Oh, it was. Yeah. Making the band. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's been a while since I watched Chappelle Show.
It's a great show. It's a great show. So, yeah, I personally am kind of sad because the other Fables game they had announced for the Xbox One actually did look kind of fun. It was the one where you could create dungeons for your friends to play through or random people to play through. And on the flip side of that, you could play through dungeons. It seemed really neat.
Grown up Mario Maker.
I'm sure it would have been very good if they lived up to half of the promises they probably made during the development, but that's kind of been Fable's
Lionhead.
Peter Molyneux.
Like, we're going to have all this great revolutionary stuff, guys. Sorry, guys, we couldn't have any of that.
Peter Molyneux will promise you Destiny and then deliver Pong.
That is probably the most accurate thing I've ever heard about Peter Molyneux. Peter Molyneux.
Well, okay. Good thing we don't have to say that name much longer after today.
And I've never cared about Fable much myself. They weren't bad.
I liked the first one, and I fell off after that.
Well, Fable 2 was really good. Fable 3 I liked a whole lot until the very end of it.
Oh, where you end up ruling the whole country?
Yeah, and basically had you not been grinding the whole game, then you couldn't get the best ending.
Yeah.
And that bugged me. That bugged me real bad, because if you hadn't been grinding and saving ridiculous amounts of money, you were going to get a bad ending to the game.
But I mean, really, that's a life simulator. If you're not grinding and making lots of money and saving it, you're going to have the worst ending.
That's not wrong.
It's the truest Fable.
That's probably true.
So Peter Molyneux was really
ahead of his time.
A reflection of us.
We were all Peter Molyneux.
We were promised the world. We grinded for the monies and then ended up just dying miserably and alone.
We haven't gotten there yet. Spoilers.
Spoilers. Dalton.
All right. Well, move on from there.
I have a friend who is on my friends list was actually in the beta or the close, whatever it was that they were doing, which he had to sign an NDA and stuff, so we never got to talk about it. But when he read that it was canceled, apparently just this past weekend, they sent an email to everyone saying, hey, here are all the update. You're going to get a pretty big update sometime this week. We know this has been hard to work on. This has been hard to work on. There are fixes coming. And so it really kind of seems like they were just completely blindsided by it, which you always hate to see.
Yeah, that's
it's kind of like, Jesse, you remember when Game Crazy closed? And we went over there, and they found out, a week, 2 weeks before they actually closed?
Right.
And then were told not to tell customers? They said keep
because
getting
pre-orders. Because they were still taking pre-orders.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, and then they just shut down.
So if you had a pre-order at Game Crazy, you had to drive to the next closest Game Crazy, which at that point was...
St. Louis, I think.
No, I think it was in, somewhere in Kentucky, I want to say.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the next closest Game Crazy. So if, yeah, if you had a pre-order, you were screwed.
There were people that called us at GameStop. Trying to get a hold of Game Crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're like, did my pre-orders go over there?
No.
No. What about my store credit?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Wow.
That was shady.
That was super shady. Hollywood. The way Hollywood Video went down in general was super shady. Like, I'm pretty sure there was a huge class action lawsuit against them, but they were kind of just flipping the bird on the way out. Like, we're bankrupt anyway.
Have fun getting that money that we don't have.
Like that $1,000 Lindsay's owed by Stephen Barry's.
Yep. Never going to see it.
Nope. No, you will not.
You don't think they listen to this, do they?
Stephen Barry's? I don't think they can afford the internet.
Or, yeah, Steve or Barry can't. It'll cap out their data plan.
All right, so moving on, though. We had talked about the Super Nintendo releases on the 3DS. And
The new 3DS.
And Nintendo actually did go on record saying that I was correct. The reason that it's only available on the new 3DS is because of the Pixel Perfect mode.
Garbage.
This is the dumbest excuse I've ever heard.
Oh, like, yeah. No, it's a blatant cash grab. Like,
I can't believe Nintendo
that.
Would do that. Like, say what you will about Nintendo, but hardly have they been a true cash grab kind of system. I mean, sure, they had plenty of shovelware on the Wii, but they've never just been outright greedy and in an insulting way. And this is different.
And if they want money so badly, release more amiibos. You monsters.
Make
that Pokemon game.
Significant strides.
Seriously?
Towards that.
Make that Pokemon game where the only way to capture the Pokemon is to buy the amiibo for that Pokemon.
Because I'll do it. Because I'm dumb.
She will.
I will not.
I also will not.
Imagine how many kids are out there would buy that.
Okay, actually, now that I'm
Do you know how happy
it,
I would be to have an actual cool looking Flygon
would get the game
figure?
And then buy the six characters that are six Pokemon that I want for my team.
Oh, no, you don't get to do that. You have to make your way through. Like, the first zone is only Pidgey and Rattata. But you don't get to use them until you buy those.
You know how
amiibos.
Bad evolutions would be? You could evolve this if you go to Best Buy right now and buy the amiibo.
I mean, you can evolve it, you just can't use it.
Because it won't listen to you.
They're sold out Nidokings everywhere.
Unless you have the amiibo.
Oh, God, everybody shut up. We are giving Nintendo ideas.
They're going to send us a cease and desist and a thank you letter at the same time.
Somewhere Reggie's just like, ooh, I got a tingle.
Something's a great idea. Just all right, so we'll move on from that before we get too mad about it. Beetlejuice 2 got the official green light.
Ooh. No. No.
And it is going to have Winona Ryder and Michael Keaton.
That gives it a little bit of credibility.
Winona Ryder is going to look worse than Beetlejuice.
It's still
accurate.
Not necessary.
What's wrong with Winona Ryder?
She's almost 50.
So?
She has not looked good in the last few years.
Uh-uh.
Are you sure you're thinking of Winona Ryder and not like Winona Judd?
Because I thought Winona Ryder was just in, I can't remember the name of it, but I thought she looked fine.
No, she was in one of Jordan's favorite movies, Mr. Deeds.
She was in Mr. Deeds.
She was in Mr.
Deeds,
that was,
and what,
she looked
like,
fine in that one.
That was like 20 years ago, but still.
Back whenever Adam Sandler was still kind of funny.
That was on. He was on his way out at that point, for sure.
Yeah, that's legitimate. Yeah.
That's one of those things where I would be, I'll be fine with it if it's like an Austin Powers or like Toy Story, where they're like, this isn't just we can make a sequel. It's, we have an actual story that we want to tell.
Exactly.
That we're proud of the story, and now's the time to bring it back.
I agree with that.
Because that first Beetlejuice movie is classic.
So good.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
I remember watching that in school. I don't know if you guys did this, but like in grade school, I don't remember when we did it, but it was like once or twice a year, all the classrooms would be converted into theaters, kind of, mm-hmm. and you could go in and watch whatever movies you wanted. And Beetlejuice was always in one of them, and we would always sing that damn song at the end.
Yeah. We had the closest thing we had to that. There was one day per quarter that we had I don't remember what they called it, but it was basically a concession stand. For the entire afternoon, you could go and buy candy and other junk food at this concession stand, and then the entire afternoon would just be watching movies in your classroom.
Yeah,
but it wasn't like you couldn't go anywhere else, and the movie was picked by your teacher. So
my school
I saw,
never
like,
did this stuff.
No, our movies were picked, but they were usually terrible, except Beetlejuice. Mm-hmm. And there was a movie. Oh God, I'm remembering things. It had Martin Short in it, and there was a dog.
All right, well I'm on high.
Okay, that
thanks.
That could...
And Martin Short was a little kid.
Oh,
God. Oh, God, that movie was terrible.
Toy dinosaurs that he was
obsessed
with?
Yes. Oh, God, that movie was terrible. What was the movie?
What was that movie?
I don't know.
I was Beetlejuice for Halloween twice in grade school.
Nice.
Like six, and I'm pretty sure it was like sixth and seventh grade. I was
Shannon, how old are you? So I can figure out when this movie
was. Because he was
like
crazy.
So, well, we'll go ahead and move on from
that
while you guys are trying to think
of that.
That
movie was definitely like early 90s.
Going back to video games real quick, one thing that I almost forgot to mention, Diablo 2. Blizzard is patching Diablo 2 and Warcraft 3.
For the first time in like...
over 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was Clifford. Yeah, yeah, that's it, Clifford.
Huh.
And it was a god-awful film, and I love Martin Short, but what a god-awful film. And if you don't love Martin Short, go watch Three Amigos.
See, the ones that we watched the most were, I remember seeing Where the Red Fern Grows like three times.
I mean, we watched that because we had to read the book.
Bug's Life.
And Old Yeller was another
one. So your teachers were evil.
A little bit.
Also,
I mean, we
and Lion King.
I mean, we watched like the Care Bears Fireflies. Movie and Jurassic Park.
No,
Jesse, they also had the choice of watching Schindler's List.
Saving Private Ryan.
Daktari.
No, yeah, go watch Three Amigos and realize how much more funny Steve Martin is than everyone else in that movie. Yeah.
Accurate.
Well, so, I don't know. Martin Short was really funny, too. And Chevy Chase was good in the movie. But the Martin Short joke where the plane flies over the head and he says, I think it was a mail plane. How can you tell? Didn't you see its little balls?
So, Supergirl got renewed for a second season.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen pictures of that girl having sex on the internet.
Oh.
Are you talking about just Supergirl, the character?
No,
or?
the actress.
There's a whole lot
like,
of that out
there. There's
a
rule that just that will validate
no,
that.
The actress that plays her was a part of the Fappening.
Oh.
And when I first heard she was on Supergirl, one of the things they wrote on there was since her celebrity scandal leak. And I was like, how bad could it have been? It was bad. It was full on.
Bad? Like, it was just bad.
Penetration.
I wasn't going to say it. I was going to make a reference to Dolph Lundgren.
Heidenreich.
Making a reference to the required viewing.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's happening. I haven't really gotten into the show at all.
Haven't seen any of it. I've heard good things.
Yeah, my boss likes it a whole lot. But, yeah, that's all I've heard.
Is that going to be in the same vein of, like, Legends of Tomorrow and stuff like that?
No. Oh. They are having a crossover coming up with The Flash and Supergirl.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
oh,
cool. The Flash is going to show up there, but I don't think, like, moving forward that they're going to be in the same universe. It has something to do with, like, alternate worlds and other non-worlds.
Well, I guess they can get away with that, yeah.
Well, I mean, they've already in Flash canon have alternate, like, Earth 2.
Yeah.
I watched that episode where they he explained the multiverse. Oh, that was beautiful.
Okay, no, I'm not a big... I've not seen The Flash, so I'm not going to pass judgment on it because I've not seen it. I've also never seen Arrow. But you guys have seen it, right?
Yeah. I've seen Arrow. I still haven't seen Flash.
I'm caught up.
Am I crazy in thinking that with Daredevil Season 2 coming out this week, this Friday, Daredevil Season 2, that those shows are so far behind Daredevil in terms of quality?
No.
Am I wrong in that?
It's apples and oranges.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's two different genres.
Because the Arrow and Flash have actually both been really, really good. And they don't have, I mean, they're not as gritty, obviously, because they don't have that, they're not going for that. Flash is actually full-on comic book. They've got, like, the goofy characters.
So when I think of Flash and Arrow, I think of basically it's like a comic book version of Supernatural. That's the tone that they go for.
Not entirely wrong.
Arrow kind of, Flash, no.
Like, yeah, Flash is just super, like, they've got, you know, serious moments and everything else, but... They are not afraid to go with, like, you know, Earth 2 has been a huge theme in the season. They've got, you know, alternate timelines. They've got, like, time travel all over the place. They're going all out.
And at the same time, too, like, the tone of the episodes themselves are almost cheap, like, campy.
Mm.
Like,
but not really bad campy, just enjoyable. I actually really like The Flash.
So what's better, CW superhero shows or Netflix?
It's apples and oranges.
Which is better, Toy Story or Saving Private Ryan?
Saving Private Ryan.
Well, anyway, I can't really say that I like one more than the other.
It's very easy.
Well, I can't really say that one is better than the other. I probably like the Netflix shows more, but...
And I'm the opposite, because I like the CW shows more. Or the two that I've watched. I haven't seen Supergirl, and I haven't watched Legends of
Tomorrow.
Well, Supergirl's on CBS. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, then, yeah.
That's part of why it's such a big deal that Flash is going to be crossing over, because it's two different networks.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and that's why
reason.
It's not going to be the same going forward.
Is it the same as the movie universe?
No.
Because they did...
And that's the thing that's infuriating.
Well, did they did reference Superman though in Supergirl, didn't they?
They have,
well,
yes.
Yeah, but
could they do that if it's if they can't? I mean, how?
No, Warner Brothers owns all of DC. It's not like Marvel where different studios own. Warner Brothers owns all of it, so they can say anything they want in any.
So they could have Supergirl and Superman meet up if they wanted to.
Yeah, but yeah. It can't be Henry Cavill. Like, it has to be somebody else. Well, it could be Henry Cavill, but they're
it
not.
It won't be because they're.
It
not
won't be like it. Just whatever happened in the movie hasn't happened in the show.
Okay,
so it can be Henry Cavill, but it won't have to be the explain same. It. Yeah, it won't be the same character.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the big difference. Warner Brothers never sold off the, or I guess DC sold all of their
TV. Warner Brother has all of DC's stuff. Like it's right. It's all in the same like it's all in the same property. They didn't DC always made money, so they didn't have to sell things off to make extra money.
So if they wanted to do like a full on Justice League with every DC character they want, they could.
Yes. Yeah,
as opposed to Marvel that can only use so many.
Right. Yeah. Because Marvel, whenever they were going bankrupt, they were selling out all the movie rights, you know, as past.
Everybody must go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Versus now Marvel, who's just
has like, everybody. Don't they have everyone except the X-Men and Fantastic Four?
X-Men, Fantastic
and
Four,
and they technically don't have Spider-Man.
Yeah, because he's licensed out basically.
And also mutants, just in general, like not just the X-Men, but no mutant. They can't say mutant, which is a huge one.
I hate that. That's
plus
the worst
all of the like, plus the majority of like the villains that the X-Men and Fantastic Four, because like Doctor Doom could be a huge Avengers movie plot, but they won't be able to do that.
Yeah, and they couldn't mention how Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch, they just kind of mentioned how their parents died. You need to watch Age of Ultron, so I stop spoiling things like that for you.
I mean, I already know.
Yeah, I mean,
she doesn't, but I do.
They're
I've
technically
read.
Like experimental inhumans.
Yeah, they're enhanced. Yeah. They're not mutants.
So
there's
yeah.
enough different storylines. I'm not really that worried about stuff being spoiled.
I just hate that.
And it's also like what I don't like about it is it's impacting the comic book world too.
They put the X-Men on their own damn planet.
Sort of.
Yeah, I mean...
Is that gone already?
No, they decided not to do that, kind of.
They just did a dumber thing.
Yeah. Basically, now the X-Mansion is in limbo, and it's being protected by magic. Because
how
the
does
Terrigen
a building go put into limbo?
Magic.
Magic the character, or magic the...
Magic
yeah,
the character Ileana using Rasputin. Magic.
Yeah.
While playing magic.
And before they all knew all different Marvel, she gained complete domain over... limbo.
Now, magic is Ileana Rasputin.
Yeah.
Who died in the original. Like, as far as I'm back, I can remember, she was dead.
And did
she was resurrected because
I had
books.
The I had the comic with the funeral.
Yeah.
It was one of my favorite comics.
Shannon, sometimes comic book characters die, and then it doesn't matter because it's comic books.
Uh-huh. So they brought Gwen back? Gwen Stacy
like,
back?
Yep. Gwen Stacy is back.
Spider Gwen.
Sort of.
But that's an alternate universe, right?
It's an alternate universe.
Isn't Gwen Stacy one of the few characters that has stayed dead since she died?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the most part, yeah.
Except for
they've
Spider
done like
Gwen.
Flashbacks and Spider
okay.
Gwen.
Yeah. Please forgive me for asking questions on the show because I know that you have topics, but now that you guys are comics, guys, I need to know. Did Professor X ever come back?
Yes.
Not yet.
Well,
no. Not since.
Well, not since AVX.
Yeah.
Yeah, AVX
or a
like,
schism or what? Oh yeah, it was AVX.
Yeah, AVX is when like Cyclops killed Xavier, and so far no, he has not come back.
What about Jean?
Jean is back, sort of. They brought
is
Jean
it the
back.
Old version of her?
Yeah. They brought Jean back from like all the original X-Men, the five original X-Men: Angel, Beast, Cyclops,
Iceman.
Jean Grey, and Iceman.
Yeah.
Brought all five of them from the past to try and talk Cyclops out of being a douche. And
impossible.
Yeah, they failed miserably.
My favorite comic book thing is whenever Iceman sees himself in the future, and he's like, "Oh man, I got ugly." Like he didn't say it, but you can see the look on his face of just disgust.
Do you remember the first issue of the Magneto comic when they were in Cape Girardeau?
Yes,
and they misspelled Girardeau.
Cape Girardine.
And it was like a backwoods.
No. It was
no. Like, that was Supernatural.
Yeah, that was Supernatural. We were a backwoods port town. Yeah. But
they're not entirely wrong.
In the Magneto comic, they were in a coffee shop. Like it looked like a fairly suburban area.
Yeah.
Maybe they were thinking we were like a St. Louis suburb or something. Either
not
way,
entirely wrong.
That's true. And then the writer of Magneto shows up a few months later for Comic-Con and realizes, oh, I was not really right.
Wow, this place kind of sucks.
Let's go back.
He acted like it.
Does Mr. 100 still live here?
No. Well, and like the going back, like the Marvel, like they can't use Magneto as the parents. It's one of my favorite things that came from that entire movie was the phone was this comic where it's like Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch are on the phone. It's like, hey, Dad, we're fighting this, we're fighting this giant army that's entirely made of metal. You think you could help? And it's just like, I'm good. This Magneto just clang hangs up the phone.
There was, like, in the actual Age of Ultron storyline in the comic books, you'd think Magneto would be the perfect solution.
Seriously.
Would you say the ultimate solution?
You might. There's something, like, comic book logic that stopped Magneto
it was
from just
Ultron
winning.
Infused, like, at the same time, I don't remember which version of it it was, but there was something that Ultron, on top of putting himself into an adamantium body, like, he found some sort of alloy he could infuse in himself that Magneto wouldn't be able to...
It's called aluminum.
He was putting...
Nope, aluminum Magneto's got.
Yeah.
But he's a magnet.
Uh-huh.
Plastic.
He doesn't know how science works.
But yeah, it's like he had some sort of
it's
like...
It's Magneto, not Calvin.
This specific plot jar of plot device will mix in with my roboskeleton quite nicely.
Because I'm sure they were thinking, like, all right, so we're going to have this unstoppable army of robots. And then somebody's like...
Magneto.
We got probably like the Bendis or whoever was writing like X-Men at the time. It's just like, what about Magneto? Wouldn't
put him on
he
the
just... He's spending time in X-Haven or Sanctuary.
Do you guys remember that comic where Magneto and three of his friends won a trip to the moon? It was amazing.
It was the issue right before that one.
Yeah. Right before amazing. That event. He comes back.
Just sees all this scrap metal. Everyone's like, what did I miss?
Comes back with like a moon lay around his neck.
I brought moon rocks.
What are these piles of metal men? Did something exciting happen?
Boy, you missed the story.
Read up on it.
Oh, don't read Age of Ultron, please.
It's
bad.
Not that bad.
No, don't defend it. It was bad.
I'll stay with my Age of Apocalypse, thank you.
Good call. All right, so... keeping on with the did that start with Supergirl?
Yeah.
All right, well, keeping on with the DC world, J.K. Simmons is officially Commissioner Gordon.
Yep.
Which we talked about a little bit on Thursday. He is the embodiment of J. Jonah Jameson.
Yeah.
So the first time I heard about it, that's the first thing I thought of was, like, you can't cast J. Jonah Jameson as Gordon. But then I started thinking about J.K. Simmons' other roles and other things he's been in.
He's a versatile actor.
That was one of the things that I wanted to like mention to you guys, because I listened to that, and because everyone pretty much agreed, like, but he could only be J. Jonah Jameson. It's like, no. That's like saying Robert Downey Jr. can only be Tony Stark.
From now on,
or
yes.
That,
Tropic Thunder.
Have you seen The Judge?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
The Judge, yeah. The
Judge was fantastic.
No,
he's just a great actor.
And I thought I mentioned that on Thursday's show, that, you know, he's been in so many other things. And the more I thought about him as Gordon, the better I liked, more I liked it.
I think it's a superhero thing, though. I think it kind of comes from... He was already in a superhero movie as another character, but it's the same as saying Chris Evans couldn't be anybody.
I was about
but
to say Chris Evans
Human
wants
Torch
to have a word with you.
Ryan Reynolds is Green Lantern versus Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go back and if you look at the people that played Commissioner Gordon originally, like in the older Batman films, Pat Hingle, who was a great actor, but go look at him as Commissioner Gordon with his 80s cop outfit, just big fat guy, compared to like Gary Oldman in the Batman, the Nolan trilogy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, there's such a difference in between those Commissioner Gordons.
I also didn't much care for Oldman as Gordon.
Really?
I thought that Oldman did a great job because Gary Oldman is amazing.
Good actor.
Right? Great actor. Just fantastic. Well. It's just, whenever I think Commissioner Gordon, I don't think Gary Oldman.
Well, no, but the way that Gary Oldman's the kind of actor that I feel like doesn't get enough credit, because we talked about Christian Bale and like people going through massive body transformations.
Mm-hmm.
Gary Oldman, in any of his roles, just feel like he's pretty much Clayface.
He becomes that
role. Yeah, he throws his whole
like,
body
he
into
absolutely,
it,
like, you know, the mustache was perfect, the hair, like, it wasn't until like halfway through Batman Begins, I was like, that's a British dude.
Yeah.
Like, I he looks kind of familiar, but I didn't care because that was Commissioner Gordon. Like,
uh-huh.
That was a great Commissioner Gordon.
The moment.
And then I was like, oh, wait a minute, that is Gary Oldman.
And see, I do think that it's a fairly realistic police commissioner. I just don't know that he's Gordon. Because whenever I think Gordon, you know, if you think Batman Animated Series or even, like, Gotham, the guy they have for Gordon in Gotham is perfect.
Yeah.
See, I...
Because Gordon is an ex-Marine, like, he's actually supposed to be, you know, a fairly
kind
strong,
of a, yeah.
Like, Gary Oldman has always been, like, as I know he is a great method actor and he really throws everything into the role, but he has never been in any role ever big.
But wait, what do you mean big?
Like physically imposing.
Like physically imposing?
Physically imposing.
Yeah, but this version of Gordon, from what I take it, is an older Gordon.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. Like, if you're placing everything in the right timeline,
well, which is why I think J.K. Simmons will be fine.
Yeah, yeah, J.K. Simmons is going to be fantastic.
But I'm thinking old men in the Nolan trilogy. That's when I don't know.
See, I think it's one of those things where it's like, if you put some real life logic into it, like he's a higher ranking officer. So, like, he doesn't necessarily need to be in peak physical condition anymore.
Behind the desk for a while.
Like, he spent his time behind the desk. Like, and granted, he was a detective in the beginning of Begins, and eventually, like, he's worked his way
right
up. So, like, I mean, I never, you know, you don't need all police officers to always be, like, these super jacked.
And don't think that Gary Oldman isn't in shape. Go watch some of those movies where he's
topless. In shape.
The dude's
is
in shape.
Imposing does not mean not in shape.
But next to, like, Tom Hardy and Christian Bale in those movies.
Not so much Christian Bale.
Well, I mean, in the second one,
when he's
one,
hanging
for sure
there getting his back fixed, that's how it works.
He
like,
was looking
he's pretty
good.
Jacked.
Yeah,
I remember I watched that movie in theaters with my my buddy Ben Martin, who has just tremendous back issues, or used to have anyway. He's had a few surgeries to get that fixed, and at that point, his back was fixed. So we saw that happen. I just leaned over to him and was like, man, you should have just found a shady dude in a prison to punch you real hard. That would have fixed your back right up.
That's how medicine works.
Science.
It was just a slip disc. He just had to boop, pop it back in.
But J.K. Simmons, fantastic actor.
Yeah.
His, I'm trying to remember who he played on Oz. It was Vern Schillinger. Did anybody watch Oz but me?
Nope.
I think it was just
he
you.
He was another one of those just like truly imposing, like one of the best characters on TV. He was so sadistic and cruel. When I saw him in that versus seeing him as J. Jonah Jameson or as one of the M&Ms, I couldn't believe how different he was. He, again, is another very versatile actor.
Oh, yeah.
That will do great. Much like John Goodman in 10 Cloverfield Lane, which, by the way, go see that movie just for John Goodman. He's fantastic.
I do love – he is a national treasure.
He is a national treasure. I love him so much.
All right, so –
Oh, go ahead. No, you're fine.
Did you have a point to make towards the last topic?
I was going to say that.
John Goodman?
No. I was going to say that I think all of the casting they've done so far for the DC Universe has been perfect.
Well, I was not a fan of Gal Gadot. How
you Gal Gadot.
Gal Gadot. Are we sure?
Gal Gadot, maybe. Okay. It's in that area.
I wasn't a fan of her as. Yeah, GG. I wasn't a fan of her as Wonder Woman because I thought she was too supermodel skinny. But the more I see her in the trailers and stuff, the more I am willing to.
Because they show plenty of her.
They show it. I'm willing to give her a chance. I think she'll do a good job.
All right, so moving on to a different side of the
movie. Also, what was wrong with Brandon Routh as Superman?
I don't think anybody had a problem with Brandon Routh as Superman.
I think it was just that movie.
Perfect Superman. There was no better Superman than him. He was handsome. He's a good actor. He was built as hell.
Henry
Cavill's a great actor, but come on. Brandon Routh is also a national treasure.
He's the Atom in CW-verse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah, he is still just built.
Yeah. I'm pet peeve about that.
So, Venom spinoff got resurrected.
No.
Hopefully under the new banner.
No.
So it won't be the same terrible Venom we got in Spider-Man 3.
He wasn't that bad.
If they do I will be fine with Agent Venom. If they do
that'd be awesome.
If they do Agent Venom or I honestly have not read any of Space Knight.
I haven't either, though I want to, but the art is just so weird.
Yeah, it doesn't look good. Space Knight and I think Sailor Moon.
It's basically what they did is, so after he left Eddie Brock, he got attached to Flash Thompson, who was a war hero who got his legs blown off.
Mm-hmm.
And so they did this thing where he had like 48 hours. He could be contained to the symbiote suit before it would start to affect his mind, so he had to like turn it back into S.H.I.E.L.D.
He had a fancy little watch.
Yeah.
He could have the symbiote could take over.
Mm-hmm.
Well, by take over, he could use the symbiote for 48 hours before it would begin to take over.
Mm-hmm.
So he basically had to throw it back in this little watch mechanism. That was kind of cool. Just like,
It was like on a cooldown that he, mm-hmm. before, so like his mind could stay
right
strong. But then, so he worked for S.H.I.E.L.D. He was an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. for a while. Yes. They would send him out on missions and stuff. And then eventually he got put in space and he had a brief stint with the Guardians of the Galaxy. And then eventually mm-hmm. they went back to the symbiote homeworld because the symbiote was actually, like, its journey or whatever, or when it bonded to someone, it went insane. So that's why Venom had always been a villain, was because the symbiote itself was corrupt, but then when it went back to its home world, it's like, nope, we're fixed. We're good now.
And,
so now he's just going through space, having adventures.
And Venom wasn't always a villain. I mean,
he's been an anti-hero before.
Yeah, he was the Lethal Protector series when they did that. And I think that would work great as a movie, but you have to establish Venom as a bad guy first. Like, if he's in the new Spider-Man film as the villain, but he's kind of like the sort of villain, kind of like the Punisher looks like in the new Daredevil season, then you have him go off on his own spinoff later. That would be great. But if they put out the Venom spinoff before or without having him in Spider-Man, I think that's a mistake.
It's definitely going to be a spin-off after.
That's just a movie about a guy named Venom, you know?
It's definitely going to take place after the new Sony Spider-Man movie that Marvel is apparently helping with. Since it's in the same, I think it's the same Spider-Man that Sony's going
just,
to have
just,
in their movie
just give it
as
to Marvel.
Just give it to Marvel.
Just sell it back.
I mean, I'm okay
give
with
him his land
them
back, Hank.
At least like coming to terms. I like that they've come to terms to where we can see Spider-Man in the Marvel movieverse, and Sony is actively reaching out to Marvel for assistance with their Spider-Man films.
Because they realize that they're terrible.
Yes.
Well, now hold on. The first Spider-Man trilogy was really good. Amazing Spider-Man 1 was good.
Spider-Man 2 was really, really good.
The first one was good, too.
Spider-Man, if you go back, going back and watching it, and it being just after 9/11... That super hyper patriotic, you mess with one of us, you mess with all of us. Like, that's cringy.
But Spider-Man 2 was really good.
Spider-Man 2 was the best Spider-Man movie they made.
I absolutely agree. Better than
everyone else that was at that table on Thursday was incorrect.
Yes.
that's fine, Ace. You can be wrong occasionally.
I mean, I can be, just I'm not.
Well, you got to blame Mr. Bucket for that one.
But.
No.
Spider-Man 3 was just
awful.
Garbage.
Yeah.
So when you say trilogy. The first two movies were definitely
and
acceptable.
That's why I want Sony to give back Spider-Man, because it's their fault how bad 3 was. They decided, hey, let's basically make the Sinister Six just without the name and one less bad guy.
Right.
We're just going to cram
and then
all these characters
and then
in.
They did the same thing with Amazing Spider-Man. The first Amazing Spider-Man was great, in my opinion.
It was good.
No, I loved the first Amazing Spider-Man.
The second one was awful.
The second one was good. It just wasn't...
I don't remember the second one.
I really liked the second one.
The second
I
one
it
was
good.
A great popcorn movie.
It had the same
Spider-Man.
Problem as Part 3, that they had too many characters in it.
Right, because they started trying to establish the Sinister Six.
Yeah.
Because that's what they wanted to go
Because that's also going to be a spin-off movie.
Was.
Yeah, they keep trying to make it a thing,
Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And it keeps not being a thing.
Yep,
because they keep messing it up.
Yeah,
they're trying to rush it is the problem. And yeah, either way,
there's only one good thing about Spider-Man 2, the Amazing Spider-Man 2. Got spoiler alert, real quick.
Go for it. I mean, the movie's been out
okay
for a while.
3 years.
Yeah, well, I know what I already know what happens
when Gwen Stacy dies. That is the only good part of that movie.
We had a conversation about that earlier in the show.
We went
back
circle.
To the full circle. Well, it's because in these movies, you never really see anything so traumatic. You never see a main character die
and
like
that.
I will disagree with that because you saw that in Amazing Spider-Man 1 with Captain Stacy. And that's why I was kind of
hoping... Captain Stacy does not have the same emotional attachment that comic fans are going to have to Gwen Stacy.
It doesn't, but it was still kind of the same, like... I was kind of hoping that they were going to hold off on the Gwen Stacy death. Because clearly, as soon as they made her the primary love interest, she's going to eat it. Like, eventually. Like, she's going down.
Yeah.
Draw it out more. I would have liked to see that in 3.
Mary Jane was supposed to be in the second movie, played by Shailene Woodley, mm-hmm. but they cut her scenes. So if she had been in it, I think it would have made more sense to kill Gwen Stacy, because you've already sown the seeds of, here's Mary Jane.
Except that
something's
in the comic
happen.
Books, Peter didn't meet Mary Jane until
after.
Because in the comic books, it was a situation of Aunt May knew a person who had a daughter and mm-hmm. then hooked them up.
And he hit the jackpot. Tiger.
Face it, Tiger, you hit the jackpot. Yeah. Yeah.
And Kirsten Dunst, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Mary Jane. Loved it.
That was great. So
she played Mary Jane in the Spider-Man trilogy.
No, I knew that. I think I would go with Emma Stone first, though.
Well, you also go for girls who can't spell Megan right.
Bro! And nope, not doing it. Anyway.
So, moving forward, Shannon.
Anyway, so this
Venom spinoff supposed to be coming after the new Spider-Man movie from Sony, which they did. We did get a little bit of an announcement. They had another casting for the new Spider-Man movie. Zendaya Coleman, I think I'm saying that name right.
I think she's a Disney girl.
Zendaya.
She
is. Yeah. And a character named Michelle. Not really sure who it's going to be. That was just an announcement that was made. So we still don't know hardly anything. Obviously, they're going to wait to release any amount of detail until after the Avengers.
Right.
Cap 3, because that's when the movie takes place. Like, mm-hmm. the Spider-Man movie will take place after Captain America 3. So, yeah, that'll be a whole lot of fun. And speaking of Captain America 3.
Is that going to be the main event?
That's the main event.
Well, there's one other thing I wanted to mention.
Go ahead.
That thing that I tagged you in about DC movies have announced that... Aquaman and was it the Flash movie?
Yes.
Will not be origin stories. And the reason that I wanted to talk about that is because I've gone on record as saying I'm sick of origin stories. Like, we don't need Batman's origin story again. We don't need Superman's origin story again. We don't need Spider-Man's origin story again. Spider-Man movie is an origin story, I will boycott it.
They've already said it's not.
Good. Yeah, I think they have announced
a long time ago.
Good. I'd like to We're think good. Enough people know Spider-Man's
story.
Well,
that's the thing. We've now had two set movies where it's an origin story.
And there's also several cartoons.
Oh, yeah. And same with Batman and Superman. But I'm going to kind of qualify that with, but those are those heroes. How many people really know anything about The Flash other than he's super fast?
Honestly.
Like, I think those are characters that an origin story may, it might fit better in general. But I mean, but either way, like, I'm happy to see that they're finally breaking away from this formula that studios think that we need to hold viewers' hands explaining every little detail of why they can do these things they can do.
And the way I'm looking at it, the way I see it anyway, DC is using the Batman versus Superman movie to begin their series of movies. As opposed to Marvel.
They're doing the reverse Marvel.
Right, they're doing the reverse Marvel. So it doesn't really make much sense for us to get an origin story after we've already seen the character.
Yeah.
I guess, is there a logic anyway?
Unless they do some sort of like Arrow type flashback in the middle of a movie or something.
Right, and they very well could.
Which
I mean,
a subplot is fine.
Yeah, you could sum up the Flash's origin story in 30 seconds.
Explosion super fast.
Yep.
Kaboom.
Speed Force.
Speed Force. Speed Force doesn't even have to be a part of the freaking thing. Like, Speed Force is fine because it explains why he can, you know, run as fast as he can without destroying everything.
It's also his perfect, like, Deus Ex Machina of, like, how... Well, why? How come this thing, Speed Force?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Don't ask about it. Just like Star Wars, The Force.
You know how great it would be if they just start the opening of the Flash movie with like a little comic book cutout says, for origin, watch CW Flash. Because that's what I said to you whenever you told me that it wasn't going to be an origin story. I was like, well, are they going to try to put an origin story that they did perfectly in a whole season of a TV show in 20 minutes at the beginning of a movie?
No,
it makes no sense.
I blanked for a second because I was texting Dalton for forgiveness. Did you say that the Spider-Man movie is not going to be an origin story?
Correct.
Okay. Because if they rebooted Spider-Man with another origin story for the third time, and when did the first Spider-Man movie come out? Was it late
2001?
90s?
2001?
Yeah, it was like 2001, 2002.
So in 15 years, we've had two Spider-Man reboots already, and we're going for a third. That's three Spider-Men in 15 years.
But it's going to be a reboot of a Spider-Man series, but it's not going to be an origin story.
Because by now, if you've seen the other Spider-Man movies in the last 13, 14 years...
And still don't know how Spider-Man becomes Spider-Man, we have a problem.
Yeah.
And not to mention that, but there's been, you know, multiple cartoons, including like the 90s Spider-Man cartoon, the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon. There was...
The Amazing Spider-Man 2 video game starts with the origin story of Spider-Man.
That too.
You literally start with Uncle Ben dying.
Spoiler.
Wait, what?
No, Asa, no, don't listen to him. Damn it, Dalton.
You almost spoiled it for everyone.
What do you mean Uncle Ben?
No.
Oh, did I say Uncle Ben? I said Uncle Ben's rice is like a dead taste in my mouth.
Yeah, he meant the Uncle Ben from the rice. That old man died.
Yeah, he died, yeah.
What?
We are really bad about taking bits too far. A
little bit, but it's all right. It was funny.
I disagree.
So, yeah. I
think your little bits don't go far enough.
I think your bits
don't go far enough.
Anywho, the DC thing, the origin stories, mm-hmm. I'm completely fine with it. And Aquaman's origin story is also pretty simple.
King of Atlantis.
I talked to Fish.
Yep.
I don't know. No, I actually don't know his origin story.
Well, I will say, to correct Lindsay, the Aquaman number one that came out with the new 52,
yeah.
It shows him eating like fish and chips on a pier. And everyone's just like, oh, how could you do this? And he's like, I live in the ocean. What do you think I eat? Yeah, but don't you talk to fish? No.
Other fish?
He's like, no, I give commands to fish and they obey me because I am their king. And it's just like, just something as simple as that is just like, you know what? Okay.
Well, yeah, and
you were much less stupid.
That New 52 run really made him a lot better.
That entire first issue is basically, I'm trying to remember the name of the writer.
Jeff Johns. It was Jeff Johns.
Jeff Johns, that's it.
Being like, no, he's cool, yeah. I swear.
Jeff Johns spent the entire first issue making him sound cool, even down to, he was talking about his armor. Because everybody was talking about like how goofy his armor looked. He's like, this is Atlantean armor. It stops bullets. Do you really think I'd pick orange and green by choice? And yeah, like all this other stuff. No. Like the first one is a joke piece about how Aquaman kind of saves the day from like these robbers and stuff. And the police are saying like, oh, we're going to catch so much flack down at the station because Aquaman did our job for us.
Now, this is different from the Aquaman that had long hair and the
hook arm,
yeah,
the harpoon arm.
That was the first time they tried to make him cool, right?
That was an attempt to make him cool,
yes. That
was
in the 90s, right?
Yeah.
Didn't work?
No.
And with Young Justice, the second season being out and the third season potentially happening, fingers crossed, Aqualad is a badass.
That's really true.
And that is a sentence I never thought I would ever
Aqualad
say.
I liked Aqualad in Teen Titans when it first was running.
Yeah, because they did the
Granted,
Teen
he was
Titans
in like
East
three
or whatever
episodes,
it was.
I don't know who Aqualad is. Is it his son?
No. Aqualad is just another Atlantean that
he
Aquaman.
Takes under his wing.
Yeah.
Oh.
His protege.
Sidekick. Basically,
so
you know.
The Robin to Aquaman.
Right.
Batman. Yep.
This is just like, you know, Speedy, Kid Flash.
Right. Robin.
Trying to think of all
Robin.
The other little
I realize
sidekicks.
Now that I'm CJ.
Jeff John's.
No, you're not.
not quite.
Martian Manhunter's niece.
Yeah, McGann.
No.
Hello, Megan. I hate that so much.
That's such a great part.
I also hated that, but it slowly grew on me.
Oh no, I loved that at the beginning. I thought that was the funniest part.
Just like a tumor would.
Just like a tumor. So yeah, I'm okay with them. Basically, the whole deal with Aquaman, if I remember right, it was like the original like Queen of Atlantis. Banged a human, got Prego, and then like left the human to live on the shore. And then the Atlanteans came to grab him because they're like, well, he's our king now. And then like all the Atlanteans, though, hated him because he was half human. That
but
was
I think
it.
That was...
Wasn't that an episode of Futurama?
Probably.
No, that was the Lost City of Atlanta.
they grew. They became mermaids because of the Coke factory.
Yeah.
Why couldn't they have been the other kind of mermaid?
And there is actually several different origin stories for Aquaman. Because
sometimes
like
he's just straight up Atlantean, yep. And he's pretty much the ambassador to.
Yeah, he's the ambassador for the United States or whatever.
He's the ambassador for Atlantis because he's in charge of the ocean. So he's like. Quit dumping your in here, like
yeah, that was a hook hand for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Was that one?
Mm-hmm.
But the one they set up in the New 52 was the half breed, and then there's Mara, who's Mara.
Well, I think it's gonna be a good movie, and Roman Reigns looks fantastic as Aquaman.
Oh, if Vince could have tried to gotten a bid on that, he would have.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait until 2 weeks before the movie comes out.
No. To be fair,
wait two years after the movie comes out.
Oh, Jesse, I've never been so proud of you in making a wrestling joke.
I did a thing, guys. So yeah, like it'll be fun. All right, now to the main event.
Yes,
Cap 3 got a trailer.
Sure did.
I feel like we talked about this on Thursday.
I feel like Dalton just turned into Mickey Mouse.
We did talk about it on Thursday.
For 30 minutes.
There's some people that don't listen to Tanner Thursday that do listen to Nerd Up.
No. No.
Like the three people.
They also...
the three people that listen to Tanner Thursday...
Oh.
Sorry, Tanner.
Also,
another Jesse.
Two people.
Tanner Thursday was a lot of, oh, it was the best trailer ever. Oh, I'm super excited. And I'm here to shut that down.
No. Did you not hear me?
Not really.
I was saying how I was disappointed. With Spider-Man, I feel like they should have cut it off.
Well, yeah,
when
but
the
then,
web hit
oh,
the
yeah.
shield.
I did.
Yeah.
I should have
yeah.
been the end.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because Shannon and I were talking about it yesterday. That or not yesterday, but on Thursday, how the eyes.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and pretend the listeners haven't heard it, and we can move to that topic in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
So that was obviously the big reveal. Spider-Man was at the end of the trailer. If you guys haven't seen it, go see it because I thought it was awesome.
We're sure you've seen thumbnails, pictures of on somebody's wall.
Yeah, yeah. It's actually at work. It's my wallpaper. Somebody posted a 1080p version of the Spider-Man just holding the shield. It's my wallpaper now.
Hey, everybody!
I've seen a lot of articulated comic book artists doing that one, like having just a random Spider-Man. holding the shield, which has been really cool. I've been seeing a lot of those.
I like it a whole lot. So before we get to Spider-Man, though, there's a few other things, because I know that's going to be the hot topic is Spidey. But before we get there, everything I saw up to that point, I think we can all agree was good. Yes?
Yes.
Black Panther. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, so much Black
Him
Panther.
Him taking out the motorcycle tire was...
Him being in the blown-up building as just him, not as the Black Panther. But as the Wakanda, is it still from Wakanda?
Yeah, he's still from Wakanda.
What is his name? It's I can never pronounce
T'Challa.
It. T'Challa.
Yeah.
You actually see him out of the Black Panther costume in the trailer.
Yeah. You also get about the half of a second of Crossbones punching someone.
Yes.
Yes.
That was cool. That was the other thing I wanted to talk about was Crossbones.
Is there a point for him in the movie?
He's going to probably be the doomsday of, oh no, Crossbones is attacking. We have to put our differences aside to stop him.
I doubt that so very much.
And I hope they don't.
And then 5 minutes later, they're like, well, we still have an hour left.
Blind Hulk punch.
Baron Zemo's still in this universe, right?
I have no idea.
I think he was in Winter Soldier. I feel like Baron Zemo's in this universe. That's another big Captain America villain that have rights to.
But I don't think that they've...
I still have a problem with calling this Captain America Civil War. I know why. Like, I'm not stupid. I get Captain America is the main character.
Right.
But there are so many characters in it, like, from the Avengers. I really feel like they should have just...
It should have been an Avengers movie.
It should have been called the Avengers. Because it's not like the trailer is 99% Cap, and then you see hints of other characters. No, it's full-on Black Widow, Iron Man. It's everybody except Thor and Hulk, pretty much,
which
right?
Which they're not in it.
Right.
But I think the big thing in this one is it is a Cap story. With Winter Soldier and everything else, but then it's... And I think that's where the logic they're going with. It's a Captain America story that features the rest of the Avengers.
They're tying in his hunt for Bucky and what to do about him.
Right. But it ends after this, right? Like, the whole Civil War thing, it starts and ends with this movie, because the next one's Infinity Gauntlet, isn't
right.
it? So, they're going to put this whole Civil War thing, they're going to resolve it, assumingly, at the end of this film.
Well, and it's not inconceivable to think that they don't resolve it and they allow... the conflict to carry over into Infinity Gauntlet.
I mean, they could still be sour at each other.
Right, you have a fractured Avengers team having to deal with Thanos coming to...
And then I imagine you've got some call in Guardians Daredevil. Of the Galaxy mm-hmm. coming in and, you right. know, like, get your crap together.
Which, my original theory...
And Daredevil.
My original theory is that the first Avengers move... The first Infinity Gauntlet is going to be Avengers versus Guardians... Because they can't agree. It's kind of like the Avengers versus X-Men. They can't agree on what to do with this threat from
with
space.
With Vision, actually, I think is going to be what the argument's going to be over.
Because
Vision.
He has the stone.
I mean, okay, I liked Guardians of the Galaxy too, but we're not actually talking about actually Avengers versus Guardians, right? Because that would be a very, very short fight.
Because
part of the charm of the Guardians of the Galaxy movie was that they couldn't beat anybody.
Plucky underdogs.
Yeah.
You are taking not like into the account that Star-Lord is half like super alien.
That's
which
fine.
He didn't even realize or be able to use until the last like 30 minutes of that movie.
Yep, and that's fine, but the Avengers are super Avengers.
But to be completely fair, one of them is a god. Though to be completely fair, Drax is supposed to be stronger than Thor or Cap. For sure.
Yeah.
And I'd like to believe that, but I also saw him get his ass handed to him constantly in Guardians of the Galaxy.
They made
by Ronan and the Ronan's like number 2.
Yeah. Well, actually he didn't get his Yeah, like
he got, well, I mean, he did eventually rip the part out of his head.
Right.
But he got hit a couple times.
No, so. He got the crap kicked out of him by Ronan.
But that's Ronan.
That is Ronan. I think I heard someone say at some point that Drax in the comic books is supposed to be significantly stronger than Ronan. But at the same time...
Plot device.
Right.
Right, for the plot. Like, I can understand it.
They had extra jars.
Yeah, no, Drax the Destroyer is supposed to be significantly... stronger than like Thor or like almost as strong as Hulk before he gets too angry.
Before you push Hulk too far.
Yeah, well, because that is the whole thing with the Hulk. The angrier you get him, the stronger he gets.
Like Mr. Furious from Mystery Men.
Sure. Oh, that movie.
Wow. Oh, I'm watching that movie soon now. Thanks, bud.
It was on Netflix for a while.
Yeah, I watched it on Netflix like 3 times. I love that movie.
So yeah, moving back though, like to the point... I think Hulk got so angry that he punched something so hard, it ripped open a hole to another dimension. That happened.
See, so he Superboyed it, and that's how Red Hood came back.
That's a thing with Hulk. But yeah, Drax is supposed to be pretty strong. Gamora is supposed to be, you know, one of the
She's like Black Widow.
She'll fight Black Widow.
She's like Black Widow, but significantly stronger and with swords.
Yeah, stronger and more well-trained and...
Right.
Weapons
and then there's
capable.
Rocket. And he then has a lot of guns.
Rocket has a lot of guns.
And then you have Groot, whose also strength is on par with Thor.
Wild card.
Wild card.
Yeah.
I mean, couldn't Ant-Man alone beat all of them?
I mean,
not necessarily.
No.
Because Ant-Man can shrink down, and then he
then
has incredible strength.
Can't Ant-Man just beat everyone on the Avengers, too?
He beat Falcon.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, spoiler alert. Dang it.
Ooh.
I mean, isn't...
Whoa.
Isn't,
no, don't you speak sour of Falcon.
Falcon's got a fancy jetpack.
That's really true, actually.
But
I like Falcon, he's not that special.
But he's not wrong. Ant-Man is basically a cheat code.
I don't think
they're
he
all
is.
Cheat codes.
It's like
right.
Lord
except
of the,
for Falcon.
It's like Lord of the Rings when they got the Ghost Army to fight that one battle, but didn't bother to have them fight the rest of the battles, even though they could not be
all
harmed.
Right. In complete fairness, Ant-Man did struggle against Falcon. So,
but I think he was holding back.
No,
he didn't want to fight Falcon.
Yeah, he didn't.
No, he didn't because he didn't want to get his ass kicked.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, was his jetpack particularly strong that day?
Apparently.
Well, plus, like, you've got to think the character isn't his name is escaping.
Paul Rudd.
He went,
Anthony Mackie. Are you Sam Wilson? Are we talking about the character? Or are we talking
about
Ant-Man.
Scott Lang.
Scott Lang. Okay. That's the name I couldn't think of. So anyway, Scott Lang was not trained for combat at all.
Other than that sweet montage.
He got the sweet montage where he could come in and out
Kate
of
from Lost.
Where he could come out, he could come in and out of, you know, tiny size and do stuff. But he's not combat trained.
I can't think of her name now, but is she going to be in...
Evangeline Lilly?
Yeah. Is she
she's
going
to be Wasp.
Well, I mean, she like they did that as the like post-spoiler
but
thing.
But that's probably going to be Ant-Man, too. I don't think
she's
going to
be
in this one.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, probably not.
Do you think they're... And I know we're talking about the Civil War trailer. This kind of relates. Do you think they ever will put Daredevil in this universe?
Probably
and if they
not.
Did, would he have a place?
No, I think... I do think that he'll have something to do with Infinity Gauntlet. Like, just a... Because I think that's going to be the... Like, because that's supposed to be, like, the end-all be-all of these, like, movies. Like, don't... I mean, there's always Phase 3 or 4 or whatever's coming up after with, like, Doctor Strange and, like, the new... the Black Panther seer, like, because he's going to be a couple movies.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like this is going to be, like, the big send-off. And it's really going to be the way that they... this is the way that they write out the original Avengers because their movie deals are pretty well done. And this is how... Then they're going to bring in, like, all the new people. And I do think that the Netflix series people will play a role in that.
I hope they will, but on the one hand, we've talked about it before with the mature content of the Netflix series. Obviously, they did it in the comic books. Mm-hmm. They moved Jessica Jones and everybody else into the main universe. Well, Luke Cage and Power.
To be fair, Daredevil, even though it was a mature show, never went too far. Like, there was some blood and guts, but they never said the F word. There was no nudity. Like, they never went much further than... Than the movies themselves.
Than the violence.
Other than the blood and violence.
And
you can tone that down.
So you could tone down the graphicness of it, and honestly, especially, because I don't think that they're going to be, like, a major part of it, but, like, you put them in one fight scene, or one or two fight scenes as, like, the group, then
defenders,
right.
Like, yeah, throw them in there.
You know, just be like, okay, well, while we're out in space fighting everything, we have the defenders kind of holding it down in New York, and then you see them, like, bring down... bring Vincent D'Onofrio back or for just like a little cameo.
Oh.
Hmm. Yeah, no, I could see, like, I would actually like them to be, you know, that's the way I would see them putting it in. They wouldn't play a significant role.
Mm-hmm.
Just a, well, what are we going to do about, you know, all this stuff that's happening down here while we're trying to take care of everything up there? Well, and then they show up like,
we
got this. And they're like, who are you guys?
Don't worry about it. And they hand him a DVD, a season one DVD. Watch this. Change your life.
It's good stuff.
And they're going to be like, why didn't we recruit these guys like 3 years ago whenever we were fighting each other? That would be so much more handy to have just a bunch of people that would just kick so much tail.
I don't know, Falcon. You did well. Here's my shield. You're Captain America now for some reason.
All right. Well.
So Spider-Man?
Spider-Man. I think we can move over there.
Yeah, all right.
Talk about some Spider-Man.
I'm super excited about that outfit. It looks realistic.
I like the outfit. It actually, like, okay, so one thing
it's too
that,
bright for my
one
taste.
Thing that Stephanie sent me, it the way the eyes are shaped and the lines are drawn, at least the mask looks extremely similar to 1966 cartoon Spidey.
That's what I thought when I saw it, was that this looks like an old cartoon version of Spider-Man, not the new high-tech version that we're used to in the movies.
And I like that better. Like, my problem with Spider-Man isn't that he's in the movie, it's that they showed him in the trailer. But, like, that costume actually looks like something a 16-year-old would make in his room.
Yeah.
Amazing Spider-Man and Tobey Maguire Spider-Man there is no way that I believe that either of them could cross-stitch. I mean,
like Andrew, they went on Etsy and bought something for a couple hundred dollars.
Maybe Andrew Garfield, like, because he worked with Oscorp or whatever that was. Like, maybe he had access to stuff like that. But those were, like, military-grade costumes. Yeah. You're not just throwing
that together. Because they went through Andrew Garfield, like, going online and ordering the stuff for it, including, like, the stuff to make the webbing. Mm-hmm. Like, that was the one that really got me in that movie.
You know what would be a fantastic starting outfit for Spider-Man? And I know they won't do it because it wouldn't make sense if you know the comics. But the Scarlet Spider outfit, where it's just pure red with the hoodie over it. As a kid who just wants to throw an outfit together to fight crime, that would look fantastic.
You're not wrong.
Almost like the Kick-Ass version.
You just, like, killed Dalton.
Do you like that idea?
He likes Scarlet Spider.
That's my favorite Spider-Man outfit.
Me too. Forever has been my favorite.
Get some cane in there.
That and Iron Spider. Iron Spider's fantastic, too.
Yeah.
He's got those.
Think we're going to see that?
Oh, no. I want to.
Not really? This movie.
Not this movie, but I think we will in the future. Because I do want to say that I'm thinking that his eyes, because that's the one thing I did want to touch on, because we got about 5 minutes or so left here, which we can go over, whatever.
We're going to.
We talked about on Thursday, we had a disagreement over the eyes. Mm-hmm. Like, Shannon was saying that the white got smaller. It looked like they were trying to do a Deadpool-style thing. And I was like, no, it seems like while they are animated, it is mechanical.
Yeah.
And what I didn't know that Shannon didn't hear, you can actually hear the aperture is what it almost seems like.
It sounds like
the lens of a camera zooming.
Yeah. Right.
That Peter Parker would have readily available because he's a photographer.
Yeah, he's
Or that Iron Man would provide if he's recruited Spider-Man to his
side.
That's
true too. Yeah.
Right. So yeah, I mean, like several different things there that could have happened. And yeah, that's one of the things that I'd want to touch on. We watched the trailer and Shannon heard the aperture and was like, "Oh, okay, yeah, that's what it is."
I do want to see him explain it though, because if they don't explain it, I'll be angry.
All right, really quick. How great would it be if we just get like a it won't happen, but it'd be fantastic if like Tony Stark goes to this like gritty place in New York where there's like this wrestling match going on, where like John Morrison as the Bone Crusher is facing Peter Parker, and he has like the Spider-Man outfit where it's the hoodie with like the painted on spider thing, and he's like, "Hey kid, let me get you a suit." And then he shows up right after, like, just a 2 second thing, because that'd be hilarious to call back from that first
almost
movie.
Like an origin story for Spider-Man.
Not an origin story. That's a 2 second blip that we would
an
all be
origin appreciate. Flashback.
Just to say also, Bone Crusher.
And it's Bone Saw.
Oh, crap. Bone Saw, yeah. I don't know why. Anyway, so let's go on to about the conversation. I just wanted that scene to happen.
Because Bone Saw's ready, and then he saws himself.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway. I don't know. Like, Asa had a problem with him being in the trailer because he felt it was spoilery.
It's not that it's spoilery. That it's part of a greater trend that every single big budget movie, their trailer has to pretty much lay out the entirety of the plot and what happens in the movie for you.
And they have to show the full reveal.
Why would I spend $10 to go sit in a theater for 2 hours when I can spend 8 minutes watching all three theatrical trailers of Batman v Superman? And I'm not saying it's on par as that, because Batman v Superman was exponentially worse.
Yes.
But to me, Civil War trailer, like Shannon said, if you just end it with under ruse and then the web flip comes down and you see the shield get yanked away,
you know he's in the movie.
You know that's Spider-Man.
And that makes you want to go see it.
Right.
Because to wonder, what does he look like?
And then, or even like I said, like the thing that I suggested where you have Tony Stark just like they're arguing, and all of a sudden, Tony like looks over. He's like, "What are you supposed to be? Some kind of like Spider Boy, Spider Man?" And like you just hear that. Like you don't show him. He's off camera, but you just hear him. Like,
see, I think that sounds dumb.
No,
I'll be honest with
there,
you.
There used to be a rule in movies that you don't reveal things like that. You make people want to go see it. Like Jack Nicholson as the Joker in the original Batman. It was so secretive of what he looked like.
Jurassic Park. How many dinosaurs were in the trailers of Jurassic Park?
Star Wars, The Force Awakens. They
said hit next to nothing.
Yeah, but with these movies, I feel like they need to show what they have in it. Because this Spider-Man thing has been gigantic speculation for months after. And we didn't know if it was going to be an end credit scene. We didn't know if he was going to be in the actual movie.
But would have been enough.
And that's the point, is that you go to see that. Like, whenever I go see a Marvel movie especially, I wonder, is this going to be like what was the last one? Star Wars with Darth Vader in Episode 3. You wondered, is Vader going to be in the movie or is he going to be at the very, very end because they're transitioning into the old trilogy?
Yeah,
it's if they would have shown in the trailer of Palpatine saying your wife died and him going no, and you Vader's in the movie. Yeah, but they just gave away the thing. I'm so sorry.
But right, no, so, I'm angry now.
I do want to.
I'll put my thumb through your eye, you little bitch.
Now we definitely can't post it on Gaming Grounds. So anyway, no, the one of the things though
we
that
anyway,
I really wanted to point out here with the whole Spider-Man issue, are you less excited to see the film because you've seen Spider-Man?
I am more excited.
I am too.
It literally changed nothing for
they
me.
Need to just not do any more trailers though.
They're not going to.
Am I the only one that thought this was different than say Ninja Turtles when they showed Krang? When they showed Krang, I was like, oh my god, Krang! When they showed Spider-Man, I went, why are they showing Spider-Man?
Something I was about to bring up. Like, what is the difference between this and them showing Krang?
Honestly,
in my opinion, them showing Krang is worse than them showing Spider-Man.
No, it is. I was fine with them not showing it at all. Or, like, not showing Krang at all. And, I mean, while I was excited to see him, I am just kind of like, it could have been a surprise.
Right.
Yeah.
Let it be
a surprise.
They already gave us Bebop and Rocksteady.
Yeah. And Baxter Stockman. I mean,
right.
They filled their quota.
And see, here's the thing. Like, we knew, everybody knows that Spider-Man's going to be in the movie. Everybody has known for well over a year now that Tom Hiddleston is going to be Spider-Man, and that's
Tom Holland.
Holland.
Because Tom Hiddleston's Loki, isn't he?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, he is.
That actually would be hilarious.
That would be awesome.
That would just, like, they don't acknowledge it. It's just Tom Hiddleston and Spider-Man, too.
They just yell under Ruse. He shows up and is like,
they took away
hello,
my pokey
everybody.
Stick. This is all I have left.
So now I'm a spider. So anyway. That would have been fantastic. No, Tom Holland. Sorry. We've known that Tom Holland is going to be Spider-Man. We've known it for a really long time. So what this movie did, in my opinion, it gave us a look. We finally got a peek at Spider-Man. We still don't know where in the movie it happens. We don't know what we know that they're fighting. And we've known that forever because it's called Civil War. We don't know where in the movie it happens. We don't know what impact it has on the movie. We have just been shown Spider-Man. So after all of this teasing and talking about, we've seen it. And I got just my level of hype for the movie went from I'm going to see it to my God, the movie cannot get here quick enough.
See, but we knew he was already going to be in it. We knew it was going to be Tom Holland. And now we've seen him. So it's like, sure, we don't know what he's going to do. But even if they didn't show him, we still don't know what he's going to do. We still don't know the impact. Like, to me, it would have been just I will say, to comparing it to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, that is a movie that they have to show all of their cards for the trailers.
To make up for the first one?
The first
movie was such a disappointment to so many people that if they don't throw everything at the marketing to get people excited for it,
they're
to be like...
get half of the people.
Yeah, no one's going to go...
And you're not wrong, because basically I wasn't making the argument that think that Krang, showing Krang was a bad idea.
Right.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, exactly as you mentioned, everything they've shown for the trailer so far in Turtles 2 mm-hmm. has been great and has really made me consider seeing it in theaters.
Right.
Because before, the last two trailers, basically, for Turtles, I had no interest in seeing it in theaters at all. Shannon was probably going to drag me there, and I would have seen it. But, other than that.
Is it maybe that they made it such a big point to show Spider-Man at the end of the movie and make him a focal point? That is part of the problem. What if they would have instead shown him grab it, still show him flipping onto the car, and then immediately cutting it off and just having, a black screen and hearing him say, hey, everybody. Don't make it as...
Well, that's still the very end
of it. Yeah.
Yeah. The only difference is they end it faster.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And don't just show him and, leave him there and say, here it is, stare at me.
The construction of the trailer would have had to be completely different because everything was so quickly smash cut together. And it was so,
you needed that pause.
Aside from, Rhodey potentially dying, which if that actually happens and they show it, I don't care that we don't know where in the movie it happens. But if they show us Rhodey dying in the trailer... No, no, no.
Yeah, that's a big
but
no,
then
no.
Don Cheadle will have more time to film more Madea movies.
Dang
then,
it, Calvin.
And no, then at the very end, but at the way that they have it all smash cut together so quickly, and then at the very end, it is the thing that gets the most breathing room, is that Spider-Man thing. So they do make it seem like, okay, here you go, shut up now, it's actually Spider-Man.
Because they knew that would be the big deal. That was, that's the first thing we've seen about Spider-Man at all. We haven't even seen, a leak of the costume on set yet.
They should have called the movie Spider-Man Civil War.
That would have been great.
So, anyway, but getting back to those last 2 or 3 seconds of a movie trailer, do you guys remember, I think it was the second X-Men Apocalypse trailer. And the last beat of it is bald Professor X.
I hate that too.
Yeah, but all right, so here's the difference. There's no reason that should have been the last beat because it doesn't say anything. This tells you exactly the one thing that we wanted to know in this movie.
Well, to be fair, it's also the iconic look for Professor X is, oh, he's finally going to be bald. This is a big deal. But I just don't think it's important, personally.
Yeah, but this is super important. Like, this is going to, like, this...
But this is too important.
No, it's not. I don't... I mean, it's too important, but this is going to drive more people to see the movie now.
Yes.
Yeah, and you can disagree with me.
No, I mean, it's not that I disagree with you. It's just, like, I don't think that... I don't think any less people... If they hadn't shown it, I don't think less people would go and see it. I don't think anyone is going to see that trailer. They didn't show Spider-Man. You know what? I'm not going to go see it.
No, see, that's not the argument. The argument is, like, Dalton's argument is that by showing Spider-Man... That generated more excitement for the movie.
By showing like bald Professor X, you really didn't gain anything.
To me, I'd be more excited.
Everything
I would be more excited if I didn't know what he looked like going in.
But see, you weren't the audience.
Oh,
like,
no, I know that. And like I said in the group chat, like I said in the group messages that we've been talking about this like all week, is like, I know why they're doing it. I understand it. Just it's a personal taste.
Yeah, I think
it's part of that bigger trend that they're just showing too much in trailers.
It's the difference between creative. It's like a creative thing. It's like you don't want to show that because it would be more of an impact if you saw it for the first time on the big screen. But at the same time, you want to maximize your revenue. So if you put it out, more people see it and go watch it. You have to decide between how it should be from a fan point of view versus how it should be from a money-making point of view.
And what I want to ask you is, okay, so imagine how, like, go back to when you first saw the trailer and you first see Spider-Man and how excited you were. Now put yourself in the movie theater. You have no idea what Spider-Man's going to look like. You don't know where he's coming in. You don't know whose side he's going to be on. You know nothing about... You just know that eventually we're going to get Spider-Man. You see him for the first time. Your level of excitement. I feel like it's going to be diminished now. Because now, especially if he's not in like the first half of the movie, everyone's just going to be sitting there like,
Where's Spider-Man coming in?
Whereas if you leave him out of the trailers like they've done so far... You kind of have like that, okay, well, it might be that end credit scene, but it's further back in your mind.
Back to the original Iron Man. Was it Iron Man? What was the first movie that had Sam Jackson?
Iron Man.
Imagine if they had put Sam Jackson in the trailer as Nick Fury, as opposed to seeing it, not knowing, or even if you knew he was going to be in it, you didn't know what the capacity was that Nick Fury was going to be. And then at the end of the movie, here he is. And I remember being
in a post-credit scene.
And I remember in the theater going, oh my God, Nick Fury, that's crazy. As opposed to if I'd have been like, oh, Nick Fury's in here somewhere.
Well, see, the thing is, that's the difference in the two. That is a post-credits cameo. Mm-hmm. Basically, what the trailer did was tell me that Spider-Man's not going to be a cameo.
It could still be a cameo.
Oh, that better not be the end of the movie.
Remember Quicksilver in X-Men? When we all thought, oh, wow, Quicksilver looks awesome. And then he was in it for a five-minute scene, and then he was gone. How do we not know Spider-Man won't be in it for 5 minutes and then gone?
And see, actually, with Quicksilver, we did see a brief hint of Quicksilver in the trailers. And then he played, like, I feel like they didn't think he was going to steal the show quite like he did. Because Quicksilver was amazing in that movie.
Yeah.
But
I mean, Evan Peters.
Swoon. Yes.
Yeah. Handsome boy.
He's a handsome boy. I don't think my excitement's going to be diminished. I was going to be waiting that whole film for when are they going to show Spider-Man, regardless. Now I kind of have an idea when we get to that scene, like, oh, Spidey's coming. Oh, Spidey's coming.
Yeah. What are they bait and switch you?
I will say...
They're like, under ruse, and then it's just not Spider-Man.
The other part of that that bothers me is, like, when I think of where in the movie that will take place, either that is the first time that you see Spider-Man, is when he just kind of shows up, he calls under ruse, and that's the first time you see him. I hate when movies do that, like the Wonder Woman reveal. Or at the same time, like my train of thought just went totally bankrupt.
You're saying that maybe he's in it before that, and then that's just a scene in the movie where he comes to fight.
Yeah, like I hope they do that. I hope it. Otherwise, it's like, okay, well, you know, here's a tense stand down potentially. Oh, and well, no, Spider-Man still has to come because they showed it in the trailer.
They have to have some way to explain why he's there, because you can't just have Spider-Man show up randomly in the battle.
That would make no sense. I think it's going to be Tony Stark.
Yeah, Tony Stark is
going to
see him first.
Well, I think Tony Stark's going to talk to Peter Parker.
I'm showing a picture of right before he calls Underoos. All right, so if you're looking at it, this is just going to put it kind of in that timeline. He has the black eye, so we know it's going to be after the big Captain America Iron Man one. War Machine is standing in the background, powered on.
Yeah.
We know there's going to be a substantial amount of action happening in that time frame as Spider-Man shows up. So that's saying that Spider-Man's going to, if you're just looking at it at logic.
Because basically, the big, like, what that means is the big fight between Winter Soldier and Cap and Tony Stark or Iron Man and War Machine happens after Spider-Man appears. Is what that tells us, since War Machine's in the background.
So he may not be in the movie a lot. He is going to be in a movie in a very, very critical spot.
Yes.
And they better use him correctly. Don't just throw him in to go, oh, Spider-Man's here.
And to me, if it is, if he's in a critical spot, and but like the bulk of it is what we see in the trailer, I'm going to be so upset.
I will too, but I don't
think
that's...
Tony Stark just go get some fucking...
Kid.
Did Tony Stark just go get some 16-year-old he met somewhere, throw a Spider-Man suit on and say, I need you to help fight the other Avengers with me? What sense would that make?
No. Robin? Like, they're, like, okay.
Robin
Spider-Man,
died!
They've already said that Spider-Man has existed.
He's been
Spider-Man for months. So S.H.I.E.L.D. has known about him. They have, for sure.
Yeah, that's known in Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Well, they hint at him in Ant-Man.
They hint at him in Ant-Man, and if they know about him in Ant-Man, S.H.I.E.L.D. knows
totally
about him.
But that's just a lousy way of explaining... That's a lousy way of explaining off, well, we didn't have the character at the time. He's been around this whole time. We just never mentioned him.
You just missed him. They're going to do like that
He just left, actually.
They're going to do that thing in Scrubs where they introduce Elizabeth Banks. It's like, no, she's been here all along, and they just like superimpose her in the background of old
all
scenes.
All of the scenes, including like the intro theme.
Yeah.
Like, this has been backwards for years.
That's bugged me for years.
No, I don't think they'll do that. I think what we're going to see is Tony is going to reach out to Peter Parker because, you know, for the Avengers Initiative. He's going to try and recruit him for the Avengers. And that's how Spider-Man's going to make his appearance.
Because the Avengers Initiative, I think part of the storyline that this movie's going to take is that the Avengers Initiative, in quotes, is going to be S.H.I.E.L.D. or the U.S. government's way of keeping tabs on these metahumans, these superheroes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Tony Stark, who's concerned about the safety of people because of their superheroes, is going to recruit a 16-year-old kid to fight a war against people.
He's already a superhero.
But he's still a 16-year-old high school kid.
But he's going to be doing this regardless.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was
so he's recruiting him to be an Avenger. And basically, I think at this point in the movie, and this is all complete speculation at this point, but at this point in the movie, Iron Man sees his crew as the Avengers, and he has recruited Spider-Man as an Avenger.
And then
this
Captain
is
America
now a threat against the United States, or against the world, if you want to call it that. Iron Man against Captain America and all of them. They are now a national threat. So Peter Parker, Spider-Man, whatever 16-year-old kid that's fighting crime is now an Avenger.
16-year-old high school student, which any government facility would
they're training
be sure
him
to
early
license
so
out.
That he thinks their way.
All I'm saying is, and I'm looking too much into this. This is the same guy that when someone tried to show him SpongeBob once said, "How do you cook underwater?" That makes no sense. I don't get it.
They make a lot of jokes about that in SpongeBob, but either way, I don't know how exactly it's going to go. The government may not know that it's Peter Parker. They just know there's
they may
a dude
just know it's
fighting
this guy.
Crime.
Because that's like one thing that in the comic books they've always kept really sacred until Civil War.
Except the Civil War storyline.
Right. Yeah, the Civil War storyline.
Spider-Man pulls the mask
and
off.
I really hope they don't try to do that. They can't. Like,
because they have no reason to know who it is.
The secret identity of Superman, like or Superman.
Spider-Man.
The secret identity of Spider-Man is nowhere, doesn't have the gravity. From one
in this universe
from being in half of a movie,
right?
Yeah. He's been around.
Well, because I mean, registration. Like,
but we
it's already been well established that registration is
isn't
not the
going
issue.
To be. Yeah.
So like, yes, Spider-Man unmasking himself isn't going to be the thing
unless they make it like Peter Parker was the one that covered the Chitauri invasion 4 years ago. Whenever they invaded New York, that's the only way you can make Peter Parker.
What do you mean covered it?
Like, he was taking the pictures.
As a 12-year-old boy on the streets of New York covering an alien invasion?
All right, just so you know, this actor is 19 years old. 3 years ago, he'd have been 16, which makes perfect sense why in New York he could be a photographer.
The actor is, but the character was not.
The character is 16 in the
Okay. All right,
is
that
confirmed,
part.
Or is that just...
He's a high school kid.
Yeah.
Okay. So at the oldest, he's 18-year-old kid.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in that respect, yeah, he could have been out there taking pictures, trying to sell it to the Daily Bugle.
He could have been the top photographer in New York covering all these attacks. I wouldn't
go that far,
but he's
not could have been out there taking pictures to sell,
right.
To save money for his Spider-Man
game. It wasn't until fairly recently, like his later like high school years / when he was in college, that he actually worked for the Daily Bugle.
Right.
Yeah. He just sold pictures of Spider-Man.
I'm just trying to make him important in this universe. Like, that would be an easy way to make him important in the universe.
I don't think he's going to be important
in this
universe.
Peter Parker is going to be important.
Because let's be fair. Spider-Man, it's amazing that he's in the movie. Because, I get that joke. But in all actuality, Spider-Man is just another hero. He's no different than Iron Man and Captain America. We're building him up like he's the second coming of Jesus because we can't believe he's in this Marvel film.
Well, it's because it's
From
a big deal. Yeah, that
he's yeah. There. But in their universe, he's just another hero.
Right.
So it wouldn't be as important to them. Like, he doesn't have to be a vital link right. in the history. He's not the chosen one. Right. He's just Spider-Man.
And it's not like I really don't think, especially the way that he introduced him, I don't think that, like, Tony Stark is sitting on Spider-Man is like, this is my ace in the hole.
Yeah.
Is this 16-year-old kid. Because he calls him Underoos.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, it's clearly, like,
He can shoot webs from his hands. Clearly, this is my guy.
This
guy's a god.
You saying webs, and I know we're probably way over, but is this version of Spider-Man going to be web cartridges or natural webbing?
Web cartridges, I hope.
I heard web cartridges. I thought I read.
I
haven't seen it. No, natural webbing doesn't make sense.
I've never liked natural webbing.
Nope.
I'm like the one person that does, then.
I actually thought it was cool, the natural webbing. I didn't like the little hairs on his fingers, though, when he would crawl up walls and stuff.
That was just creepy.
Because what if he's feeling a girl up? You know?
that sound effect.
Maybe going to Mary Jane or anything.
Also,
that.
The 90s cartoon. Oh. I'm out of webbing.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
I mean, that was a great plot device. Like, you know, whenever he would run out of, like, his web cartridges or, like, the machinery would get damaged
jammed
and that kind
or something,
of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it was a cool plot device, but he. Yeah, that's never an issue if he can make his own. Plus, then it just, I don't know. If you look at how a spider makes web and how...
and how he shoots the web.
Oh, I'm sorry, that would not be a realistic for the 16-year-old kid who is shooting webbing at bad guys. I'm sorry, it's not realistic enough for you.
Scientifically accurate Spider-Man.
No spider shoots web out of its legs.
No.
None of them.
No. All right, Spider-Man, get up at that top building. Will do, sir. What are you doing with your pants?
Son, I'm going to need you to put those back on.
Put those back on or we're all going on a list.
But you just said.
How do you think I do it?
How do you think I make web, dude?
So anyway, no, I'm hoping web cartridges. But yeah, we are a bit over on time, so we're going to go ahead and cut it off.
Yeah.
All right, so Dalton Manch, Asa Gray, Shannon Young, Lindsay, Wolfgang, thank you all for joining me, and thank you all two people that are still listening for tuning in to Nerd Up.
You're welcome, Internet.